Chapter 2. The River Fells the Tree. Close your eyes. Shake off your shoes. Dulled solar redness glows beyond eyelids. Grass prickles toes and dust lies beneath your soles. Warmth brushes your arm as a hand slips around yours. Somehow you know who it is. Open your eyes. And below a sky both bright with sun and somehow star-speckled black, your mother stands before you. This is the place, out of time, where all humans find each other. Rustling footfalls approach, and another woman steps forward, your maternal grandmother. Maybe you spoke to her last week, or 20 years ago, or maybe you only know her from blurred photos. She joins her hand to your mother's and then turns her head. Behind, threading over an endless plain, is a line of more women, bonded by hand and gaze. Your eyes lose count, but you sense them by the hundred, the thousand. Faces become unfamiliar with distance, despite you somehow knowing cheek curves, curls of hair, or a shift of the hip. Beyond, the thread continues to meet the horizon, and your gaze rises up to the milky spindrift above. There, many tens of millennia away, even the stars have shifted. Then you feel it, like a lightning strike passed through 40,000 hands, endless cycles of love and loss thumping through breasts and bones for 500,000 years into your blood, your heart. Dizziness swirls, but your mother's hand squeezes, and just then, through blinking eyes, you see it. Spreading out from this single thread of maternal ancestry is an immense human tracery, fretworks of immortality blending towards the distant blued plateau at the edge of time. They're all here, the others. They always have been. We are the embodied heritage of all our mothers. The predecessors of your eyes, focusing on these words, first saw light over 500 million years ago. Should you be reading this in paper format, the five dexterous fingers that would turn the pages have clutched, grasped, scrabbled for 300 million years. Or, as you listen to this audiobook, the ingenious triple bone ear structure you're using began hearing sounds of love and terror while we scuttled beneath saurian feet. The brain processing this sentence had ballooned almost to its current size by 500,000 years ago and was shared by the Neanderthals. Situating us and them within a deeper biological and evolutionary context drives home what we share. It also reveals how off-target 19th century visions of Neanderthals as the missing link between us and other apes were. Fossil primates were already known. In 1836, none other than Édouard Lachté found an ancient monkey. Later, the same year Neanderthal bones were blasted out of Feldhofer Cave, he uncovered the first European ape named Dryopithecus. Despite this, fossil humans was still a shock. Today, the situation is profoundly altered. While details remain debated, our family tree is more crowded than scholars like Busk or Darwin ever imagined. There are over 20 identified hominin species from just the last 3.5 million years. Its roots go deeper too. Transforming small, scuttling mammals into hominins and eventually Neanderthals took an extraordinarily long time. Immense forests 25 million years ago bristled with monkeys as the split leading to the apes was already underway. Early ambassadors of these tailless primates, the apes proconsul, were already playing away from the trees in East Africa. Then, as the Great Rift Valley cracked open, a massive global cooling began, and apes embarked on huge diversification and dispersals, evolving into at least 100 species between 15 and 10 million years ago. The clever fingers of Dryopithecus and others searched out foods in wet forests and open lands alike. From this point, there's increasingly detailed fossil and genetic evidence showing when and where our fellow great apes began going their own ways. Orangutans in Asia shared their jungles with the enormous Gigantopithecus, whose roaring and chest-slapping must have reverberated through misty dawns. Shifting back to Africa, around 10 million years ago, first gorillas separated off, then chimpanzees, and around this time we begin to see creatures walking on two legs. Not all were hominins, directly ancestral to Neanderthals and us, but it marked a watershed. A sort of mosaic evolution is found in the rare hominin bones from between 7 and 3 million years ago, often with confusing combinations of primitive and advanced anatomy. There's flat-faced Kenyanthropus and the many Australopithecines, true proto-humans who strode fully upright and were growing larger brains. And someone, by 3.3 million years ago, was responsible for the Lamequian, the simplest stone artifacts. This is probably the beginning of an intensifying feedback cycle between meat and lithics. Casual carnivore tendencies likely went back much earlier, but sharp cutting edges are essential for accessing most of the flesh and fat on large carcasses. It's not yet clear from which prior hominin group the Homo genus emerged, but the first certain common ancestor the Neanderthals shared with us enters the stage from around 2 million years ago. This was Homo ergaster, and already by 1 million years ago, these archaic humans were certainly living as true hunter-gatherers, with much greater technological sophistication than earlier species. They made the first finely shaped lithics known as bifaces, tools formed on both sides, and carried them ever farther in the landscape as part of lives marked by greater planning and growing social networks. Homo ergaster had essentially human bodies. They were tall, capable runners with no hints of tree-clinging feet, and their tucked under faces, shrinking teeth, and correctly proportioned limbs all flag them as direct ancestors to Neanderthals and ourselves. Most striking are the ballooning brains. These were the canniest, most versatile primates yet to have walked the earth. They certainly moved outside the great African continent, although fossils and simple tools from a previous super-archaic Eurasian population are known from 2 million years ago. But where exactly did the Neanderthals come from? The oldest hominin remains in Western Europe are from the Cima del Elefante fossil site at Atapuerca, Spain, around 1.2 million years ago, but they're far older than the most ancient bones that look Neanderthal. A younger Atapuerca locale known as the Grandolina contains bones dating around 850 to 800,000 years ago that may well represent a population ancestral to both Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, or at least a close sister group. Named Homo antecessor, these hominins weren't just in Iberia, but were also surviving less than balmy climates in Europe's far northwest. This was demonstrated in 2013 by remarkable finds at Haysborough on Britain's eastern North Sea coast, where squalls and surging tides uncovered 900,000-year-old ancient clays. Their strangely pockmarked surface turned out to preserve dozens of footprints, the traces of a small group of hominins moving upriver from a massive estuary, where the Thames emptied from a now erased northern course. Within just a fortnight, this incredible site was erased by the sea, but 3D recording revealed there had been at least one adult with a group of youngsters, from teenagers to small children. The latter must have struggled to stay upright as they negotiated sucking slippy mud squeezing up between their toes, and preserved pollen grains confirm this wetland was surrounded by cool pine and spruce forest. Traces of soft bodies so deep in the past are incredibly rare, and their immediacy is in contrast to the dry fossils with which researchers must try to define ancestry for Neanderthals. Genetics tells us they emerged as a lineage around 700,000 years ago. And though the Grandalina people lived only around 100,000 years prior to this, they don't look very alike. It's possible that more than one sort of hominin lived in Europe at this point, but many bones over the next few hundred millennia somewhat resemble contemporary fossils from Africa, including a massive lower jaw found in Germany in 1907 that was named Homo heidelbergensis. While these hominins were long claimed as likely predecessors to Neanderthals, more recent work at a third Atapuerca locale, the Cima de los Huesos, has refined the picture. How the 28 odd hominins, many in exceptional condition, ended up deep inside the pit of bones here is something of a mystery. But it's their age of around 450 to 430,000 years and anatomy that makes them prime suspects for being true proto-Neanderthals, confirmed in 2016 by DNA analysis. Why does knowing Neanderthals' deep evolutionary history matter? The misconception that they represent a literal bridge to the apes is still common, despite the millions of years that lie between us both and our closest primate cousins. In purely anatomical terms, we can see Neanderthals emerging slightly earlier at the Cima de los Huesos than the oldest Homo sapiens-like fossils from Africa around 300 to 200,000 years ago. A temporal gap filled by thousands of generations. But in broader evolutionary terms, they're one of the very youngest hominin species and extremely similar creatures to us. Just as important, getting a handle on where they came from shows how evolution didn't follow an arrow straight hominin highway leading to ourselves. Instead, many simultaneous pathways existed, some finishing in dead ends, others, like Neanderthals, developing their own unique bodies and minds that were a match for our own. And they didn't stand alone. As we've been discovering in the past decade or so, the Homo lineage itself has other stories to tell. The hobbits of Flores, Indonesia, are one case, perhaps going back as far as 700,000 years ago, and surviving until around 50,000 years ago. In 2013, more unexpected skeletons emerged halfway around the world in South Africa. Named Homo naledi, these hominins had some very primitive features and were expected to date somewhere in the millions of years. Instead, they turned out to have been living just 250,000 years ago, making them contemporaries of the Neanderthals and our own early representatives. But among all the recent human evolution discoveries, perhaps the most startling for understanding the Neanderthals is that they could and did interbreed with us. It now looks like, for most if not all of Earth's current human population, our deep maternal ancestry, an archive of bodies and blood pulsing through to the present, included Neanderthals. This revelation has led to a profound refocusing that in one fell swoop shifted them from a dead-end primitive family branch to bona fide forebears who contributed to what and who we are right now. This is the new stage upon which we must turn to look again at the archaeology of the Neanderthals. Like revolutionaries, they've uprooted the old dynastic tree in whose crown we proudly perched. Instead, our deep history is more like a shower of leaves fluttering down onto a great river. Some follow fast rivulets, others slow trickles. They split, join and pool in hollows until the waters overspill and reunite with deep channels cutting into the earth.